It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, we're starting to hear that farm to table is like every other business. You've got to have data, you've got to have tools to be able to farm, whether you're big or small or, you know, whatever size. And it's knowing the information that you have to being able to be successful in farming. My guest today has a company that called Ag Tools, and it's Martha Montoya, and she's the CEO, founder of Ag Tools. Martha, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you very much. An honor to be here since I hear you all the time.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, I tell you what, it's nice to have. Pretty soon I'm going to have all my listeners come on. I'm all for that. I'm just going to go through the list. So any listeners listening, you can send me an email. We'll talk sometime. But I appreciate your listening to Farm to Table Talk. So, you know, we get into a lot of interesting things. In your case, Ag Tools can cover a lot. Now, I know from looking at your card, it mentions data. But when people hear Ag Tools, they're thinking like shovels and cultivators and so forth. So what are your Ag Tools that you provide?
That's very true. It's the modern tools. It takes data from all over the government entities and NGOs across the globe and put them in a little dashboard to give you data information on how the market is behaving and anything that can affect the market. Now, so it's almost like a dashboard of market.
So that's a lot. I mean, so you have everything. So now, is it pertinent to primarily to farmers that grow produce, that fruits and vegetables, more than livestock, I suppose?
Well, the architect of the tool is created precisely to do first fruits, vegetables, what we call specialty crops, but we built it already and we started with seafood, poultry, and pork.
So when you say everything, you can get everything, you can get everything about America, usually, from ERS, the Economic Research Service. Mm-hmm. And there's ever services at the USDA that data. Do you tap into all of that data, too?
Yes. Literally, I was one of the people who used to have to call or gather data all over the place, and it would take me months, weeks, days, calling somebody, and refer to the referrer, or even having the ability to open it. But guess what? It takes so much time and energy. Sure. While here, you just click, and everything is pulled in seconds.
You know, that making things simple, to get all of the information there is just by clicking, I don't know how it could be that simple. I mean, so you find all this stuff out, and how do you, like, dump it into a computer or something so that it's, you know, starts all coming together and is available?
And that's very important because data is like a river, it's a huge river. Right. So how do you make it more manageable, a river that is not going to knock you against the rocks and away from the river? So it's taking the data in a very conceptual reason. First, scraping it, cleaning it, because not all data is good. And after you clean it, putting it within context. So if I'm a farmer and I want to know about volumes, I want to know volumes in certain cities, I want to know it in seconds, and I can compare it with the last 10 years or 5 years. So it's making it simple.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in a commodity that is grown around the world, one thing you'd want to know is whether or not Chile is going to increase their production. Are you able to tap into those sources so that the competition around the world, you've got their data too?
Sure, and that's very important. Give you an example, Central Valley and oranges. The competing regions are Australia, Chile, Peru, and South Africa, and sometimes Spain. So you want to see when those crops are coming up based on historical data and what looks that is coming up to be able to say, can I harvest faster or can I slow down to make sure I get better pricing? Because if I see that there's a huge rain in South Africa, most likely it's going to delay the crop or maybe accelerate the crop. And so I can understand how to push it in or faster, or whether there's going to be a strike at a port, which I have lived this personally. And you're gearing up and send all that to the Port of Long Beach, and $600 million went down the drain. But that strike was on the news since August of the year prior. And so this tool starts giving you some alarm systems. Sure. Hey, the worst strike, Orange, Long Beach, Korea, starting to come up.
Some people are able to keep track of like how much product is out on the ocean floating one place or another. Is any of that kind of data available?
Yes, definitely. Not on the ocean for us, but yes, how much data, how much oranges are at one time anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
What is the pricing anywhere in the world? How much is a terminal pricing? Even how much is a pricing at the store?
Oh, that's it. So, you know, with all of that data, you just take a commodity at a time, saying, okay, I'm going to start with A for apples and just start working your way down, or A for almonds maybe, and just start striking off all these commodities and finding everything there is and putting them into your database?
We did it all at once, 513 commodities at once.
All at once?
All at once. Yeah, that's the world of engineering. It's like, wow, choom, all of them at once. What is taking us a little bit more time is the behavior of a variety in a microclimate. That's a different story. How a lettuce that is in Salinas versus Yuma, that is a different story in the behavior of the weather patterns.
Sure.
But the volume still the volume, the price still the price, etc.
And so you have people that go online and you find this data.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to go to all the public sources, but you get all these at once. So I'm still kind of like stumbling over that. Either like CIA or...
CIA
actually does have information, yeah. I think, don't they?
Obviously they do. What is interesting is we take the data that you and I have access because we pay our taxes.
Okay.
So that data stay here and in Mexico and in Canada and in Barcelona, Spain or whatever. Everybody puts the data somewhere, but they sit like in file cabinets. Just sitting there,
right.
And what we do is we go and open the cabinet and we put it into the system and put it in.
So those cabinets that used to be what I preferred in some respects, but those old metal filing cabinets, but now in fact there are the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, data and cloud are just kind of, I'm stumbling over them everywhere I talk about food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk of the cloud,
mm-hmm.
there's kind of like a generic cloud of all of the data that should be public information from all the countries in the world, I suppose.
Well, you'd be surprised that, as somebody told me one time in a Google conference, we have in the cloud or the Google's world only 20% of the data. The other 80% still in hard copies and books and file cabinets, real file cabinets.
Right.
So what we have done is taken as much as possible from file cabinets, but file cabinets that are sitting there with data. So we pull from there. And then the second...
But they're all hard copies. How do you get
some of them are hard copies, some of them are not. When I mean hard copies, they are sitting there, but you can open it with special tools and you can see the documents that have been sitting there in some shape or form.
You can see it? I mean, virtually? I mean, mm-hmm. from someplace mm-hmm. else you're actually... Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I've seen that movie.
I remember the actor, but there's one movie that I remember
that
watching.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, yeah, it was... They were standing there, and I can't... Somebody's listening to this or remembers that particular movie. But you can actually do that, so you can see what's in the files.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now, if we could think of something we'd be curious about, and what's something about the almond crop in South Africa?
Mm-hmm. So we'd mostly likely will go to a Johannesburg University or the university. We will research fast, which is the number one university of almonds for Africa, South Africa. Sometimes not even in the South Africa. It could
right.
be in Switzerland, for all we know, right?
Right?
When you find that, then you go to the systems and find out which books or documents are there. And then we pull that. We open, quote-unquote, the file cabinet, meaning virtual file cabinet, we open it and we pull the data and then we scrape it. We clean it and say specifically almonds from South Africa, when they're harvested, what are the behaviors? And we plug that in.
There's search terms of some sort and that give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it is super strange and smart.
So, you know, I have seen a lot of stories where people are concerned about seed stock in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of and they're saying that we're down to about four seed companies that got 80% of all the seeds in the world right now. But there's a whole lot of other seed stock and some that's kept. Is there any way to like tap and to be able to search for all of these kind of obscure varieties of these different commodities from wherever they are in the world?
everything is, as my brother says, everything, and we have found things that are really strange, and we find them. It's just that you have to be curious enough to wonder about it, and you'll find it. And the reality is that because all of us have to go through some regulation, regulator, government entity, they become public.
Yeah.
Because they have to be approved by something or somebody to be able to be in a commercial level. Unless somebody developed something and kept it in the lab, that's a different story. But if it went to commercial, it had to go through some public entity that makes it public.
Now, it used to be that people would say communist countries mm-hmm. were never open. Mm-hmm. But now the previous, what were communist countries, that still are, I guess, in the case of China, are those countries equally open for you to get in and see their information?
Not really, but not important right now for us. And the truth of the matter, we started focusing on the Americas. I strongly believe that first we have to take care of our own home.
Sure.
We have to make sure that our own farmers in the United States are solid, stable. We can have our own food supply.
Right.
Then go to the next level, which is the Americas. So if this hemisphere can feed itself, no matter what happens outside of this hemisphere, mm-hmm. we're taking care of ourselves. Now, the other data exists. But what would be the value if we're not doing much with it? If what would be the purpose? And the purpose is if we have exports, people from the United States, companies from the United States want to export, now they want to know how much China oranges are producing. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the top commodities that are produced or exported by the United States, and we tap on that data. And yes, the answer is they have it.
So all the inputs, everything about the markets, everything about these various products, people that are plugged into your program are able, with a dashboard on their computer, access all that stuff. They just put a query in and find the information they're looking for.
You say, I am a producer of tomatoes, potatoes, beans, and I click in, and automatically it populates in 1 second.
Right.
We have a language behind it called the Q language, which was created over 20 years ago for the financing world, and it does 1 billion transactions per second. So it's able to scrape all that in seconds and give you the data in a second.
So I have a suspicion that you've got some computer that's more sophisticated than just my Mac that I
No, because it's all in the cloud. So you just have a link and it's all there.
Cloud is everywhere. Everything has to do with the cloud.
We're all in the cloud.
So then you could actually gather all of this and do a lot of your work if you wanted to off an iPad or an iPhone or something.
In your mobile. We did it also based on the fact that many times our farmers are in areas the bandwidth is not perfect. So it has a very low stream down. So
right.
You still have specific data systems that if I'm a farmer and I'm harvesting and I'm in the middle of the crop, I need to know whether the price is going down because maybe I should shift my labor to go to packing than fresh.
Right. Well, I've been hearing that there are many areas, rural areas, that don't have access. So how do they deal with this? I mean, if they don't have dependable internet, then they're not able to take advantage of this, right?
Not for right. Well, yes and no, because precisely when my brother and I looked into this, we come from very rural areas ourselves. And so we understand that. So the idea is that a farmer can be at home, download the simple things, and then when they move to the crop area is going to remember that little address, and it's going to put just that little address. Unless there's no internet whatsoever, it's not going to be able to do it, but save the latest data. But other than that, it was going to give you the 2-3 elements. A farmer always wants to know 2 things. How much I'm going to get paid,
right.
And where's it going to?
Right.
Because wherever it goes to, it's going to be delivered and received.
But they're not really getting tracked. Like, like right now, when I do a search for a pair of shoes, the shoes show up for a month on my every time I log on because they know to come back to me and say, mm-hmm. Hey, if you're still wondering about those shoes, I mean, there's not of that reverse kind of communications or anything like that.
No.
But so how do you reach farmers to take advantage of this product?
What we have been doing is going first to the large shippers and to the large retailers. And there was a purpose for that, and it was a strategic purpose for that. We wanted to make sure that when one of those decision makers, mm-hmm. whether it's the buyers mm-hmm. or those huge companies, large companies, will make a move, it affects everybody underneath.
Sure.
Because there are 800 sure. farmers under one umbrella, 500. So if they do right and smart decisions, they will benefit those farmers. So that was my first thinking process. The second was going to banks and insurance companies who are looking forward to make sure that their farmers pay their loans.
Right.
And so giving them the tool for them to give, selling them the tool for them to give it to the farmer, because it gives us two things. First, the farmer doesn't have to pay.
Yeah.
And second, it gives us time to us train the farmer, because it's not just buying the tool. You have to get the time to train the farmers, because it's a thinking process.
Why would consumers be glad to know this is happening?
Because now we're not going to waste so much food.
Yeah.
Number one. Because now things are making, the decisions are much smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And two, because we're going to save the farmers.
Right.
Because every time that one rejection happens, one truck is not delivered at the right time, the farmer is the one who loses the money.
Is there a way that we can apply this technology from the consumer back? You know, because I think that right now some of the produce folks are identifying even the picker of a product. I know some strawberries, for one, that they carry the flat up from the field that they're carrying, and they zap a little scanner on their name badge, and then they zap the clamshell that they're packed in. And so technically, you could say, you know, next week you're in New York and you buy strawberries, and you could find what were the individual and what farm and the strawberries were picked 6 days earlier in Watsonville, California. Mm-hmm. That I know you're not offering that right now, but
no, what we can offer and we will be offering is as a consumer, you want to know how much we're saving. Are we saving farmers? So we're starting to calculate how much dollars are we saving the farmers not to lose, and how many farmers are we saving, and also very important, how many carbon footprint we're not putting on the roads. Because think about it, if the market is going down, it's better to take that lettuce and give it away to the food bank or get it to process than putting that truck 20,000 miles away or 5,000 miles away. And again, for what? For a rejection and for losing money.
Right.
So we're calculating the CO2 on decision making. We're calculating the dollar amount. And we're calculating how many farmers are using it and how much time they're spending on it. So eventually the consumer will be able, I would say 2-3 years from now, will be able to start seeing indexes on that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And of course, I think that maybe the retailers or the people that are making the brand, that are purchasing the materials, they want to reassure their consumers. So if they're able to check and all of that information, well, it's exciting. You know, I guess it's when I started doing a podcast on Farm to Table Talk, I didn't realize how much data would be kind of plugged into it, that we'd be saying, okay, it's about food and farming, but then information is such a key part of it, and data, which, again, I'm hung up on this whole reference of everything to the cloud, and, but the clouds are private clouds and public clouds.
And we have our own cloud, by the way.
It's what?
We have our own cloud.
You have your own cloud.
Yeah, because the reality, and my brother comes from Amazon. He was one of the first engineers in Amazon. And the reality is that it's hardcore computers that serve as clouds. So we literally have our own clouds, our own servers in Wenatchee, Washington.
So that's in Wenatchee, which used to have apples, and now they got clouds.
They have all the farming for the beacons and the processing plant of the clouds.
So if we go visit our clouds in Wenatchee, which used to be known for apples, but we go to Wenatchee, Washington. So you like kind of go down by Lake Chelan or something, and you see all these
buildings.
So all these buildings, and they got servers in them.
They have a lot of security. Number one. Everything is air conditioning, and you can see just lines and lines of servers.
I'm thinking that takes a lot of power.
Exactly. That's why they're sitting by the Columbia River.
So the river, they're generating their energy from the river, and they're running these servers. Are these like miles and miles and miles of buildings?
Literally.
Have you, and you've been in?
Yes, I have.
Because you got your own cloud.
We have our own cloud, but you can see the buildings across from, especially from Wenatchee to Yakima area. You can see all the sets of buildings. I mean,
I probably
massive.
Drive by and think they're chicken farms or something.
They look mostly like a Pentagon thing, literally like a Pentagon
defense. Something. So
it looks like that. Because imagine these companies, the whole life is in those things.
Yeah. So instead, they should be saying, we're putting these in tin sheds instead of we're putting them in clouds. But clouds sounds better.
sounds fancy.
So your clouds, a big share of these clouds, do you think, are in the Northwest? Is that where?
Yeah, they are in the north because of again, the electricity and the cool, the water. It's cold, so it keeps coldness underneath.
You're the first person to explain that to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that until now.
No, I've heard that before. And so you have a building that's got your equipment, and you and your brother and your company, you're in there. So you get your own cloud. And in that, it's got all that information. What happens if the building burns down?
We have a second building.
Oh, and so that's why
Amazon has 320 buildings, and Microsoft has 320 buildings, different parts of the world, by the way. Because if one country gets hit, the other one has to start up and so on and so forth.
So you have to be worried about all of the kind of espionage that they're talking about right now, of people that could shut down the grids, for example.
Yeah.
So you have to have levels of backup for all that data.
Well, we don't have to have a problem because we're not Microsoft's or Amazon's or government. We're a little company who has our own servers and our own cloud.
Right.
And we will not hopefully get attacked because we have not much. The ones who have to worry are the big companies. Like, if you remember these famous Sony, I think it was the entertainment company who got attacked.
Right.
They are bigger. We will not have to worry about that much. They have to worry because we're really in a different place.
So, of all these clouds, how many are there others that have to do with food that are in that part of the world that you're aware of?
Oh, yeah, because you have Amazon has the servers there, IBM has servers there, and all these companies are selling to many of us. AT&T has servers there, cloud server. So, yes, you'll be shocked. You will go today to Wenatchee, and you will not recognize Wenatchee. The real estate has ballooned. I mean, there's not enough housing for these executives flying from all over the world to set up shop there.
I'll be darned. So that's really, really interesting. And thanks again. I really appreciate this.
That's
another angle of this whole business of getting food from the farm to the table with the help of a cloud.
Exactly.
A cloud that I've learned today is in Wenatchee, Washington. So really, Martha Montoya, I really want to thank you for telling us the story of Ag Tools, and we can talk a little bit about data and clouds and food and also confirm the fact you're a listener to Farm to Table Talk anyway. So now you're one of the stars.
I'm fan number one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.